for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, April the 19th, 1984. Spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, East Texas, is the minister of the evening.
Praise the Lord. The psalmist said, "When I cry, Lord, attend unto my prayers. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For thou, Lord, hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower for mine enemy. Abide in thy presence forever. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and years unto many generations, and he shall abide in thy presence continually. O, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. And I will sing praises in thy tabernacle forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Praise the Lord. I'd like to minister a while tonight on the, praise the Lord. Let me just quote a few scriptures here, if I may. Paul said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Now, I pause here to say that if the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus be in you, it should be working against the law of sin and death that is in our members. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if that same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, we're heirs, heirs to God, and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. For the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves. We're awaiting the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man yet hopeth for that which he has? But if you hope for that which you have not, then do you with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we are. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us
with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth our heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For if he despised not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God, now and forever. Hear, O house of the Lord, and know that this is the year, yea, that the Lord shall begin to release the spirit of deliverance, yea, unto his people. Yea, a spirit of abundance of deliverance shall come unto thee. Yea, for the Lord hath purposed that he shall lift up and raise up deliverers, for the need is great. Yea, and the need is going to be more restricting, more demanding. Therefore the Lord would say unto thee, to walk softly, be very careful, yea, and yield to the leading of the Spirit of the Lord, and the Lord shall lead thee into great victory. For it is not a time of retreat, but it is a time of pushing forward, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, for great is the destiny of my people. Yea, and I, the Lord, would help thee to know, yea, that you it is not of your own choosing, but the Lord, thou God, hath chosen thee. Yea, and hath called thee, and hath gathered thee from many walks of life. Yea, that the Lord might pour out his Spirit upon ye. Yea, and teach you the ways of Zion, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, know that you are a blessed people, and the Lord thou God shall pour out upon thee the choicest blessings from heaven. Yea, and thou shalt sit together in heavenly places and rejoice because that you are in the presence of the Lord. Yea, and know that your blessings shall be blessings that thou cannot contain all of it. Yea, but thou shalt be blessed and be a blessing. Yea, thou shalt arise to be deliverance, for the Lord thou God has ordained and purposed that it shall be this way. Yea, know that the ministry from this place is not confined within the walls of this sanctuary, within the walls of this campground, the perimeters of this campground. Yea, but because this whole section of the country is blessed because of thee, Brother Miller. Praise the Lord, and the Lord would say unto you, yea, I know that you are a blessing. This part of the state, yea, is blessed because of your presence here. Now, whether they are aware of it or not, is beside the point. Actually, it is immaterial, for the Lord thou God hath made the statement, and the Lord does stand behind his word. Yea, I know that the Lord, yea, it is wisdom that you are situated thus, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, it was because that you have been sensitive to the Spirit. Yea, and because thou hast sought out the leadership of the Spirit, yea, and hast yielded. And many times thou hast heard the voice of the Lord to say, here am I, Lord. And because of this sensitiveness of you and your companion, yea, many shall be the blessings of my people that shall go forth, yea, from here, yea, and from your ministry. For know that the Lord thou God is giving unto thee, yea, he is releasing unto thee a super deliverance. Yea, an abundance that thou hast not known before shall come unto thee, yea, and thou shalt be able, yea, to minister deliverance, yea, in a manner that thou hast not been able to do before. For the Lord thou God hath purposed to make it so, beginning from this night forward, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Thank you, Jesus.
for your marvelous goodness toward us. Oh, praise the wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to get into a message now. The title to this message is Barefoot Ministry for the Sons of God. You might could, if you don't like the term, if there are those that don't like the term of God, sons of God, then you could just say deliverers. Hallelujah. It's all the same. But I fear that if you don't like the term sons of God, you've got a problem, because it's scriptural. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know that you love the scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise the wonderful Lord. All right. God, how many of you know that God has a purpose and that everything is not just floating around as loose in space without any gravity to hold it in check or anything, but that God is in command? To the psalmist say, the Lord God reigneth. He is clothed in majesty. He is clothed with strength, whereof he girdeth himself. The earth also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure, O Lord, and holiness becometh thine house forever. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that he is in command. I believe that he had a purpose. Hallelujah. And a plan right from the beginning of time, or before time ever began, I think that he had a purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. And he is fulfilling it as a time according to his timetable. It was in the fullness of time that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, that he might condemn sin in the flesh. When did he send Jesus? In the fullness of time. I'll tell you, that's why all the perplexity among the sons of God, the deliverer tonight, is because that God is working by a timetable. I think if ever God wanted to alter his timetable, it was on that memorial day when Job cried out in the 9th chapter of Job, verse 33. To the story of Job, I'm sure that you know, he'd been stripped of all of his wealth because of the devil didn't believe that he loved God just because God was God and he was Job. Hallelujah. He was stripped of all of his wealth, lost all of his children, lost everything. And his wife said, you, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, you talk like one of the foolish women. And on that memorial occasion, Job was stricken with boils, and he was sore from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. And he sat on a pile of ashes in sackcloth and scratched his putrefied sores with broken pieces of pottery. And he cried out, oh, that I was a daysman that could touch me and at the same time touch God. But heaven was silent. There was no daysman. Hallelujah. The fullness of time had not come. Ah, bless it. But I feel like that if ever the big old heart of God wanted to speed up his timetable, he wanted to send Jesus that day to deliver Job. But he couldn't do it. Hallelujah. Because his word has gone out and it cannot be made void in the fullness of time. And then the word became flesh and dwelled among men. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But I ask you, Brother John, when you say we beheld his glory, whom are you talking about? For the word is clear when it says that many did not believe him. The majority didn't believe him. But John said we beheld his glory. That is, Peter and me and Matthew and Luke and the numbers of others. But the vast majority didn't behold his glory. Oh, they seen the same thing, all right. They just simply didn't behold his glory. You see, that's what's happening tonight. That's what's happening all the time to us. We are beholding his glory, but the vast majority of the world, they are not beholding his glory. They know him through some form, some kind of a ceremony, some kind of a religious order, but they're not beholding his glory. But oh, if you have been chosen and picked out, hand-picked by God himself to behold his glory tonight, you are a very fortunate individual, let me tell you. Praise the Lord. But, well, let me get into the message here. All right, there are three realms that we are to walk barefooted in. Let me kindly get this thing off the ground to you here. Barefoot ministry. I was raised over here in East Texas, and we got grass burrs over. Y'all got grass burrs here? Yeah, well, you, and where you come from? Well, a barefoot ministry is just a careful walk, if you might want to move the drummer. Amen. When you walk, all right, if you go out to a briar patch or out through the yard with your shoes on, you just walk and stumble along any old way you want to. But when you go through where there those grass burrs are, barefooted, you kindly pick your way through.
Let's preach to you as well. You just say, you haven't got it. You haven't got it yet.
You have to walking barefooted, like going through grass burrs. Paul called it walking circumspectly in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, verse 15, I believe. He says, walk ye circumspectly, carefully. You understand? All right, there are three realms that the sons of God, the deliverers, has to learn to walk barefooted. That is in leadership, number one, in leadership, and number two, in warfare, and number three, in worship. You see? Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, you know, I don't know just what all your concepts are. All over the country, there are people that are looking to go somewhere right away. The concept is that they're suddenly going to be caught away to a wedding and be having a wedding, and they're waiting for some magical moment to change them completely. I don't know, some of them, I don't know what they think the Lord wants with them, because if you'll excuse the language, some of them a blizzard wouldn't have. And yet they're expecting to be, that the Lord's going to catch them up any minute. I'll tell you, I don't want to belittle that concept, if that be your concept, but let me tell you this, that whatever the Lord does for you, and whatever way you relate to Him, you're going to have to let Him make you ready for it. There is no magical moment that is going to make any great radical change in you after you have been saved and baptized in the Spirit. There is no magical moment that's going to make any great changes after that in just a moment of time. It'll be line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I have performed over 300 wedding ceremonies in my entire ministry, and I have stood here and waited for the groom company and waited for the bride to come through back yonder. And I've seen all kinds of brides come through there. I've seen tall ones, short ones, fat ones, and lean ones. Brunettes, redheads, and blondes. But I never have yet looked up and seen one come through back there with her hair done up in curlers and one of them chenille house coats tied around the middle and her toes slid in slouchily into a pair of old worn-out house shoes. No, sir. Every one of them that came through there came through ready. They got ready for the occasion. Hallelujah. That was the common denominator. They had all got ready. So, whatever is your concept, if you're going to be a manifested son, you've got to get ready. Hallelujah. Amen. If you must embrace this concept, then you've got to get ready for what God is doing. And then, you know, I think the readier we get, the less important our concepts will become, don't you? Hallelujah. Let me show you now what God does when He gets ready to raise up a deliverer. Go to Exodus with me. You got my notes there. We're gonna walk barefooted in leadership. Leadership has to walk barefooted. In warfare, you walk barefooted. And in worship. Let me give you the scripture to go with these in case I don't cover all of this, I know. Alright, in leadership, in Exodus chapter 3. We'll begin in chapter 3 with the leadership. This is Moses. Exodus chapter 3. Just put chapter 3 and we'll pick some choice verses. All right, in warfare, Joshua 5 and 15. And in worship, Exodus chapter 28. Now, if you got those notes there, you may want to do some research here. Let me show you how God began. Now, when God gets ready to bring mass deliverance
He doesn't just decide today that he's going to do it and then do it tomorrow. No, he begins to make provisions a long ways ahead. I said that because that I believe that's what God is doing now, that he is raising up deliverers. Deliverers shall come up on Mount Zion and judge the Mount Esau and deliver us. I believe that God is raising up deliverers. And I call them sons of God that have been completely, that are completely dedicated, subject to God and to the will of God. And I believe that this does not happen to you overnight. I think that God has begun to. You see, I came up through the old line, the old school. I came right up through Pentecost, through all the ranks of Pentecost. And some of it we are prone to hear criticized a lot today. But I don't. I have no derogatory remarks against anything because I believe that it was a line here. And it's line upon line. But I believe that if you stay on any plateau, on any realm, I believe that if you stay too long, you'll get stale and you'll lose out on what God is doing. Oh, I hear somebody saying, how about Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I say amen to that. He was progressive yesterday. He is progressive today, and he will be progressive forever. And if you quit being progressive, you'll lose out on the best that God has. I'm not saying that you'll lose your salvation. I'll just leave that rest where it is. I'm saying that you'll lose out on the best that God has. All right, now God's ready to raise up. He's got some people down yonder in Egypt that he has a prophetic word over. And they've been down there now for about 80 from 430. They've been down there about 350 years. And so, after they've been down there about 350 years, God knows he's going to bring them out after they've been there 430. For he said after they have been afflicted 400 years. Well, they found peace for 30 years down there. Then they were afflicted by the oppressors for 400 years. Then they come up. But God looks way ahead. And this is what he does. In Exodus chapter 2, it is. And there went a man, verse 1, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with flame and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wait what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's bank. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maids to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me. And I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child, nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, that is Pharaoh's daughter's son, and she called his name Moses, because she had drawn him out of the water. Now, do you see here what has happened? When God gets ready to bring a deliverer, he's going to raise up, he's going to make a deliverer out of this Moses, so he has to begin with it. Notice what he did here. He sends a man from the house of Levi to take a wife of the daughters of Levi. Hallelujah. Thoroughbred, if you please. Hallelujah. God's going to raise up deliverers. He begins with the right birth. Hallelujah. Now, let me say that if you think I'm interested in genealogy, I'm not. Except spiritual genealogy. I trace my genealogy back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But God was interested in genealogy then, and he's taking the natural to show the spiritual. He is going to raise up a thoroughbred here. He sends this son of Levi cannot just go to any tribe because he's going to be the father of a deliverer. And so he's going to he's going to have, Moses has to have the right birth. And if you're going to be a deliverer, we have to have the right birth. But if, you can abort after you have the right birth. But I don't want to enlarge on that right now. Alright, you know what God was looking for? He was looking for a certain string in that blood lineage. He was looking for a certain characteristic that he would get into in this blood lineage. And, well, let me show you here in Hebrews chapter, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll see here. You notice that in chapter 11, here we are, in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, it took the Holy Ghost to tell us that. Well, you go back to the narration in the Old Testament and read it, and it sounds like they, well, it sounds like that they might have been afraid of the king, doesn't it? But the Holy Ghost tells us, all right now, but that's not what, all right now, come on down to verse 27 in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. By faith, he's talking about Moses. That up there in the 24th verse is what Moses' parents done. They hid him in the 23rd verse because they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Down in the 27th verse, by faith he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All right? This is the strain that God was looking for. Notice something that's running down the bloodline here? That's running right through the lineage? His parents were not afraid of the king's commandment, and now he is not afraid of the king's commandment. That is the stability that the Lord was looking for in the deliverer. Now if he gets him birthright and gets these certain characteristics showing up in him, all he needs is some training and some these characteristics. All right, back in our original story, Pharaoh's daughter finds him, and then Moses' sister has been watching him. She goes and gets Moses' mother, and Moses' mother raises him. You see, he is going to be a deliverer. He must not suck the pap of an Egyptian woman. A woman is ever a type of the church. He must not be influenced by Egypt. His nourishment must not come from Egypt. Now Moses was influenced by two women. One was his biological mother, and the other was his adopted mother. And he was influenced by both of them, so he had to have a double weaning. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall know doctrine? Isaiah 28, chapter 28 and verse 9. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. This is a double weaning. And who is going to know knowledge and understand doctrine? Him that has a double weaning. He is weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. That is, you know, when you wean a baby, if it's breastfed, you wean him from the breast, but you stick a bottle in his mouth. So he has to have a double weaning. Finally, you've got to wean him from that. Now, we said already that a woman is ever a type of the church. So there are a lot of people that have been weaned from the breast of the mother system that they were hatched under. Hallelujah. But they have not been weaned from the bottle. They're weaned from the breast. They cut loose. But the system is still piping their literature to them, giving them the bottle. And they're still taking the bottle. Hallelujah. Amen. And until you get the double weaning, you see, it is not enough just to break loose from the system. Hallelujah. Amen. But you have to break loose from her doctrine. It is not enough just to cut loose from the breast, but you have to have that double weaning. You cut loose from the breast, but the system is still funneling their literature to you. And you still got your, they're mailing you your quarterlies. Hallelujah. Amen. So you're just weaned from the breast, but you're still on the bottle. They still are influencing you. But, Moses has to have this double weaning. He has the right blood strain. God is looking for. He's raising up. I had a fellow one time that worked for me. He raised fighting roosters. You know fighting roosters? And he kept a log ledger on all them roosters. And they fought them things. It's illegal, but they fought them anyhow. They still do, you know. And they got a pedigree, genealogy they run on them roosters. And if one of his roosters quits in the ring, that's, you know, they throw him in what they call a ring, let him fight. If he quits, cold, you know, we'll fight to the death. He quits. You know what that fella do? He killed him. But that's not all he done. He went back home and pulled that rooster's ledger and found out who all's kin to him back here. And he killed them too. He don't want no more of this blood strain. He quit under pressure. And if he quit under pressure, this blood strain is in him, and he'll pass this strain on to his posterity. And he got it through his genealogy, so he just killed everything that was kin to that rooster. You see, that's what God was looking for, is a thoroughbred, one that could stand and won't quit under pressure. Hallelujah. If you're going to quit under pressure, might as well quit now, because the pressure's going to come. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're just looking for a place to get off, now is a good time to get off, because there'll always be more reason tomorrow than there is today. I'll tell you, God's going to test every son that he calls, every deliverer that he raises up. He's going to test him. Hear in the Song of Solomon, the little maiden's trying to get the attention of this beautiful prince, and handsome prince, I should say, I guess. And she has made several gestures toward him, and he seems to kindly ignore her. Draw me, she says, and we'll run after you. I'm black and comely, she says, like the tents of Peter. And on she goes till you get down to verse 9. And he says to her, she finally got his attention, and he said to her, you remind me of one of the horses in Pharaoh's chariot. Well, that's not very romantic, is it? I mean, if some of you girls have been trying to get the prince attention for a long time, finally, when he does pay you any attention, tells you to look like a horse. Well, it wasn't quite that insulting, believe me. It was not just any horse that he reminded her of, that she reminded him of, but it was one in Pharaoh's chariot. Oh, what a compliment this was, and is. For you see, the horses that pulled the king's chariot were the best disciplined horses that there were. They were well trained. They would not move except at the command of the drive master. Anybody else said go, they don't go. They listen for that one voice. This kind of preach to you? They listen for one voice. And when they heard that one voice, they go. And when that one voice tells them to stop, they stop. But they don't stop for nobody else. And when they stop, you could set off a stick of dynamite near them. But it won't spook them. They're too well trained. The king's life cannot be put in jeopardy by hooking a wild, rebellious Mustang to his chariot. Hallelujah. So, he is telling her that she looks very disciplined, and he's very pleased with her. All right, so we've got to the double weaning. He was influenced by two women. He must be able to do something here. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse, if you'd like to turn with me, and you may want to, let's see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Now listen to this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. And you can underline, if you're marking your Bibles, underline for us. But you better do it with a pencil, because you may have to erase it. But let's see if we do. All right? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. We thought it worked against us. But it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But now, this 17th verse is governed by the first word, by the first statement in the 18th verse. You see this? It is governed by the next verse. Our light afflictions worketh, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You have to be able to see the invisible. That's what Moses was going to have to do, is see the invisible. And, all right, so then these things are working for us while we look, while we don't pay them any attention. If we don't look at them, if we don't focus on them, they'll be working for us if we look beyond them to the invisible and know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, not to call it according to his purpose. They'll be working for us, but the moment we begin to look at our circumstances, they begin to work against us. You have to keep looking at the invisible. So it is said of Moses in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, we've already been there, that he endured as one having seen the invisible. He could see the invisible. This is the ministry of the elect, the ministry of the sons of God, the ministry of the deliverance, is that they are seeing the invisible. They are having visions. They are dreaming dreams. And they're seeing the invisible and contending until it becomes visible. All right, let's go back now to Exodus chapter 3 and follow this man that God is raising up for a deliverer a little bit further. In Exodus 3, the story here, the background is that Moses has gotten trouble in Egypt. You know, he knew he was a deliverer. And he's seen one of his brethren being abused by his captor, and he avenged him. He killed the Egyptian and buried him in a shallow grave. He knew that he was a deliverer. And so he's ready to get about his delivering. So with a mighty act of courage, he actually delivered one Egyptian, one Israelite. And then he had to, he got, it was found out, and he had to leave Egypt. For God had in mind, for when God speaks of deliverance, and the deliverance that I'm talking about is not just delivering somebody from a bad spirit, that's good, but I'm talking about mass deliverance. I'm talking about when great calamity is on the face of the earth, and every nation is facing every nation, and trouble and tribulation is everywhere. I'm talking about a company of deliverers that can deliver in masses. Now, I said it's nothing wrong with delivering somebody from a bad spirit or from a disease or from any kind of a demon. Nothing wrong with that. That's what deliverance is all about. And we'll be doing that until we get this manifestation. And you have to do that. Before you can ever be a deliverer, you have to be delivered yourself. We have to be delivered ourselves. God is going to raise up a people that will walk, as we said, carefully and barefooted. Their lives will be a testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. They'll be holy people, not by any code of dress or any method of outward appearance, so to speak, but they will have a holiness of spirit and heart. And they'll walk upright before God. They will observe high principles and high moral standards, I'm telling you. And if they don't do this, they're never going to be deliverers. Hallelujah. Because they've never been delivered themselves. Hallelujah. There are many people in the land today that are very religious that needs deliverance. And many of them won't have deliverance because they don't know anything's wrong with them. Hallelujah. You tell them to repent and they say, well, I done that when I got saved. I did too, but I'll tell you, bless God, I've done a lot more of it after I got saved than I did to get saved. Hallelujah. Somebody said, don't tell me to repent because I ain't done nothing. Well, you ought to repent because you hadn't done nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. There's plenty of things to repent about. Hallelujah. If you're not a good repenter, you can forget this ministry that I'm telling you about tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you will never make it unless you're a good repenter. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. All right. So now Moses, he flees Egypt, and that brings us to the third chapter. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. But look back. Let's check back now to the 21st verse in this chapter and notice why God did this. Moses has been over here for a while when we pick up our story now, and in the 21st verse it said, and Moses was content to dwell with a man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Now Moses became content, and that was a dangerous position for a man that is born to be a deliverer. For a man that God took every precaution to give him the right birth and the right the right influence from these two women and from two nations' civilization. God had taken every precaution, and now he is in a dangerous condition because he is over here where God has sent him to be trained for a deliverer, and he has become content just to be a sheep herder and to herd his father-in-law's sheep and to live like any other, like his neighbors and everybody around him. But I'm telling you, this is a lofty calling. No man taketh it unto himself except the Lord calls him. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you have been called to this to be deliverers, you don't live like the society lives. If you become content to just live mediocre like our society lives, you're in a dangerous position. Now this is what had happened to Moses. So God has to do something to shake him, get his attention, get him on about his ministry of deliverance. So he goes to the backside of, he comes to the mountain, he goes to the backside. That is, he went further today than he has ever herded his sheep before. And then he comes back in the second chapter, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. That's what God wanted him to do. He doesn't want him to be content. He wants to get his attention. So God did something to get his attention, and he turns aside. Number one, he turns aside, and he sees this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He had a double meaning. Now God calls him, gives him a double calling here, because two is the number of witness. He is going to witness God's great deliverance for God's people. Hallelujah. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh and put off your shoes. Here he gets barefooted. This, we get to our text. God gets him barefooted. Come into the presence of God, put off his shoes, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And then he says to him in verse 7, I've seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Goes ahead and say, I'm come down to deliver them. You go. He had to learn to walk barefooted before God. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be a great leader. A great statesman and leader. And he has to learn to walk barefooted, as we said. He has to walk softly before God. For he has an obligation. You know what kind of obligation he has? He has an obligation to God and an obligation to man. You know what kind of obligation we have? To God and to man. Oh, praise God forever. And I'll tell you, we need to be aware of this obligation, don't we? Yes, he will help to learn to hear the voice of God. He'll have to learn to really know God. In Isaiah chapter 40, call our attention to a verse of scripture over there, chapter 40 and verse 11. This is a prophetic projection talking about primarily the Lord. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. This is the leadership that was projected for the Lord. Moses has to do this. Notice, he feeds the flock, he gathers the lambs with his arms. How tender that sounds. And carries them in his bosom. What a loving gesture it is. And he gently leads those that are with young, those that are going to bring forth the young. He leads them very gently. Moses must learn to know the voice of God above and beyond and be able to distinguish it from any other voice. Let me show you something here in Numbers chapter 15. Just get the impact of what I'm talking about here. In Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32. And we'll call to our attention. Now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Yeah, this is good. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, unto all the congregation, and they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp, stoned him with the stones. He died as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, Now notice here. This man is found gathering sticks. Now that's a violation of the Sabbath under the law that they were under. And but while the law was not exactly distinct, it didn't really spell it out clear. It didn't say if a man's caught gathering sticks. It wasn't quite that clear. So they didn't know what to do. So they bring him to Moses. Moses said, well, just put him in ward in custody until tomorrow, and I'll entreat the Lord, see what the Lord says. And so he entreated the Lord, and the Lord said, the man has to be put to death. Now, seems like a misdemeanor to me. I mean, really, isn't that what it would seem like to you if he was just judging this by today's standards and methods? It would seem like a mere misdemeanor, $15 fine? But God's laws are very serious. God's rewards are very great. And he does not take lightly any violation of his laws, spiritual laws I'm dealing with now. But what I'm saying is Moses had to know. If he didn't hear from God, that better have been God that said this man has to die. Because if he didn't hear from God, he's going to have this man put to death. He'll be responsible for his death. He'll be a murderer. But he knows that he has heard from God. You know, I go around a lot, all over the country, all over this country and abroad. And I hear these folks that, heard one not long ago said, something happened. I forget the exactness of the problem, but this person said, hey, Big Daddy, up there in the sky, this little Joe down here, and I need some help. Big Daddy said, what's the trouble, little Joe? Little Joe said, I'm about to lose my car. Big Daddy said, go to the post office tomorrow. I don't believe it. Hallelujah. I don't believe it. I don't believe that he ever heard from God or indeed would know if he did hear from God. God carries on no fickle conversations like that. Hallelujah. And if you ever hear a word from God, you will stand in awe and you will tremble with fear. Hallelujah. And God will test you and try you with his word. If I may pause here long enough to share a personal experience with you, I feel to do it. This happened some 15 years ago. I don't have to tell about when it happened 15 years ago just to get an experience, but this was a remarkable experience, as you will see as I unfold it. We had a couple that had, man and his wife had left our church. They had moved, transferred on a job, left in good standing and everything. Went down to Houston. They got down there and they never did like it really, but as time went on, the lady had a stroke, massive stroke. And she was helplessly paralyzed completely all over. Her vocals and everything, and the prognosis was that she would never speak again. The prognosis was she would not live past a few hours. But if she were to, if by some miraculous happening she would never walk, and she would never speak again. She would be nothing more than a vegetable. And that brother called me on the phone about 5 o'clock one evening. He was crying right away. I recognized his voice. And I knew that he was in trouble. And he told me what had happened. And he said the doctor told me to get the boys in. They had a couple of boys. And the doctors don't think she'll last the night through. And I was thinking, he said, we'd want to bring her home to bury her. I knew that you traveled a lot, and I wondered if you'd be at home for the occasion. I said, well, I am at home, and I don't have any scheduled outing for a few days. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll call you back in the morning and let you know what has happened. I said, all right, now I'm going to pray. When you hang up, I'll pray. And he said, please do, Brother Jack. So when he hung up, we really were attached to these people. They were like a spiritual mother and father to us. And I called my wife. I was in my study when I took the call, and I called my wife, and I told her to call another lady that lived by us that went to church there, and we often prayed together. And she came, we cried a while, Then we began to pray. We just fell down the floor there in my study, and my study was in the was in my house, so was on the back side or in the house. I built right on the house. It's a big, fairly big. Had the, you know, it often stayed back there all night, and we prayed there and just you know, weeping and entreating the Lord, and along about 9 o'clock, well, I was aware that our neighbor, the sister, had gone home. She got up to leave, and my wife got up and went back up in the house, and that was along about 9 o'clock in the night. And then I just kept on the floor, and I lost all sense of awareness. And when I was aware, the next thing I was aware of, I was not in the floor, I was sitting at my desk. And I had an envelope in my hand, and I had it addressed to a hospital in Houston. And I had, 2 pages, you know, 8 by 11 pages, handwritten, had it folded, and was just about to stick them in the envelope. When I suddenly I'm conscious of where I am again. And I look, and I wonder, well, what is this? And then I know what it is, but I haven't read it, and I don't know what it says. And so I think, well, I better read this before I put it in this envelope. So I unfolded it, and it began, I had written it longhand, and Dear Brother Hines, and then introduction, preliminaries, in the second chapter, said, Thus saith the Lord. Sister Hines won't die, she'll live. And I'm not talking about life for 24 hours, not for 30 days, but thus saith the Lord, she'll see the third generation from her body. And her oldest grandchild was about 10 years old. And I said, it went ahead and say, thus saith the Lord, when you get this letter, this is the word of life. This is a living word. And when you get this letter, she won't have shown any sign of life. What I want you to do is just pull your chair up to the head of a bed and read in her ear. And it'll bring life. Well, I give this some thought. I mean, and then I get some help with it. The enemy attacks me. And he said, if you send that, you're crazy. And, well, I've been accused of being crazy before. It didn't bother me too much. And he said, you'll be a false prophet, but she's going to die. So why don't you do the sensible thing, pick up the telephone and call brother and tell him, and then when she dies, you can say he misunderstood you. Because if he gets this letter and she dies, he'll show it to everybody. And from one end of this nation to the other, you'll just be a false prophet. That's what the enemy tells me. I'm just saying that if you get a word from God, the enemy will fight you over it. So I don't know. Honestly, I'm afraid. I'm scared. So I get an idea of my own. And then we lived out on the farm then. That's where we moved to, where we live now, out in town. And just 2 miles away, but we moved anyhow. And the mail carrier didn't run until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I said, well, I'll take this down there and put it in the mailbox. Then mail carrier's not going to run until 2 tomorrow. He's going to call me about 9, and if she's dead, I'll get it before the mail carrier does, see? But I like that. Sound like a reasonable, sound reasonable enough to me. And I opened my book, and this is where I opened it at. You know, I don't advise this for guidance, but this is what happened to me. And I think it was, Second Peter, Chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I licked the top of the envelope. Sealed it. Went out to my garage, got in my car, let the door up, drove to the post office. 3 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock by now. And there stands a box on the cement post. You know, you pull that little deal down, put the letter on it, and turn it loose. And I knew the man come by at 4:45 and he robbed this box. So I drove up beside that box and got out, got my letter,
and took it over and tore that little lid down, put the letter on it, and turned it loose. I said, thank God, it's gone now. Even if I wait, he won't give it back to me. Hallelujah. 4:45, man come rolling in there, and one of them little mail vans took sack out and put on the bottom of that thing, unlocked key, the bottom lowered, dropped my prophecy into the sack and headed north with it. But it's going to go south, but he's got to go north first. He had to go to Longview. That's where they got the big one, you know. He pulled that thing in there at Longview, dumped that sack in a hopper, and here went my prophecy down one of them arms, southbound. And they caught it in the sack there, hauled it at 8:30 out to the airport at Longview, and about 8:15, I was up in my, I had a truck patch up behind the house, and that mail plane come from Longview right square over my house and going to Houston. And I seen him when he come. I said, there goes the living word. Hallelujah. Amen. And he landed that airplane in Houston about 10:15, hauled him mail sacks down to that big post office there, dumped it in a hopper, and it come out through one of them arms, said, local. And a walking postman picked it up and put it in his little leather bag and delivered it to my brother in the hospital 11 o'clock that morning. Hallelujah. Amen. And sure enough, the sister was, she was not dead, but she had showed no sign of life, nothing. And he read it and he wept, he prayed, and then he pulled his chair up to her head and sat down and said, got a letter from Brother Jack. And of course, nothing. And he reads the introduction, and he gets to this part where it said, thus saith the Lord, shall live and not die. She blinked her eyes and said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lord! Ah! 3 days later, she walked out of there, just with a little assistance of the elbow. And 6 weeks later, they walked in the church house. And everybody at our place knew what I had done and the word that I had got and sent them. And you talked about a camp meeting. We had a camp meeting. But you know what happened to me? He said, yeah, you better not get too excited. You ain't out of the woods yet. How about that third generation from her body? And see that little old boy there? He ain't more than 10 years old. He's the first prospect. You've got 10 or 12 years projected here. Hallelujah. Well, make a long story short, time went on. One, after several years, we got an invitation to a wedding. Hallelujah. Amen. Come and see my grandson get married. And then we were visiting with him, about a year or two later than that. We was coming through Houston. Well, I said, let's go by and see the Hineses. We hooked in there to see them and stopped their house, and after all of the preliminaries, you know, neck hugging and all of that, she said, I got something to show you. She went to her purse like old grandmothers, great grandmothers, and brought out a picture of a little old baby, not more than 2 or 3 weeks old. And I said, that's the third generation from your body. I felt like old Simeon. Hallelujah. Amen. Felt in the temple that day when he said, now, Lord, I've seen the consolation of Israel. Your word has been so. Hallelujah. And you know, I was just by there again last year, and she's got about 3 of them from her, of the third generation now. And she's still talking, walking, cooking. Hallelujah. Amen. And just, living for God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, I tell you, the word of God will try you. If you're going to be a deliverer, you have to know when you're hearing his word. He'll put you to the test. I don't think that God has any of those fickle conversations like the one I just recited. I think he'll try you with his word. I think it'll test you. I heard you tape, brother, how you came into possession of this. God, you really put you through the test in there. But you had to know that God was directing you. I'll tell you, that's what it's all about. And now leadership must learn to walk barefooted, softly, tenderly, sure-footed. Oh, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, the psalmist said. You know what that means? Well, let me tell you a little bit here. I'm going to have to close. Am I about to run off the tape? The hinds' feet, all right, a hinds. You know, a hinds is a member of the deer family.
Deer?
Well, the reason the hinds is sure-footed, that's what the psalmist means when he says in the 18th chapter of Psalms, I believe it'll be about verse 33, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet. A hinds is sure-footed, and the psalmist is saying he's making me sure-footed. But you see, you know why a hinds is sure-footed? Because he tracks. Yeah, I'll tell you a little bit about horses and animals. The hinds tracks. You'll see a pretty quarter horse, beautiful, he's beautiful. A three-year-old quarter horse, you know, he'll be beautiful. He'll throw a bow in his neck, and all his body will just glisten, glitter, and he'll be fat and rippling, and what a beautiful picture. I don't think there's anything prettier than a nice, well-built and, you know, well-kept horse. But I'll tell you something about that quarter horse. Now, I know a lot about horses. We raised them, bred them, and from my, all the way back as far as we can trace in the genealogy. But that quarter horse, as far as just prancing down the road, or just doing a slow lope, or whatever it is he does, or cutting cattle out, he's good. And if for speed, he's good. But if you'll look at his tracks, you'll notice something. That when he sets his front foot down here, when he brings his back foot, his right back foot up, he'll overtrack. Oh, when he's young, he'll overtrack about that far. About 16 inches. And that makes him not too sure-footed because he can't see where he's putting his hind foot. He can see where he's putting his front foot, but he can't see where he's putting his hind foot. He don't know where it's going to land. But as he gets older, just watch his tracks, and that'll shorten. He never gets old enough to track, but he does get old enough he can get old enough that the back of his hind foot will barely clip the front of his front foot. That's about as slow as he's going to get. But a donkey, an old Mexican mule, he tracks, even in his youth. That's why that they use them in the mountains. Because, see, if you climb the mountains have pebbles and rocks that are loose, and if you step on a loose rock, you lose your footing. Well, the donkey, he watches where he puts his front foot. He don't have to worry about his back foot because it's going to sit down in the same place. And that's the way that deer is, that little hind. He tracks. He can ascend the mountain of agenda where the fountains of living water are. Hallelujah. Amen. Like the sons of God. Hallelujah. Well, you see, and that's, so the psalmist said, you make my feet like hind's feet. You make me sure-footed. I watch every step. I watch the first step and the second one will take care of itself. That's the principle within itself, isn't it? You just watch the first step, and the second one will kind of fall in place automatically, won't it? You know that? You do the right thing today, it's easier to do the right thing tomorrow. You make a right decision today, it's easier to make a right decision tomorrow. You got it? Make my feet like hinds' feet. I can ascend the mountains where the living water is flowing. Hallelujah. Moses said, this man has to die. He heard from God. He knew he heard from God. He has been raised up to be a deliverer, but he's not, by his own efforts, he delivered one man with all of his efforts and a little courage that he manifested. But I'll tell you, God's going to send him after a whole nation. Oh, blessed be God forever. I'm talking about deliverers that will deliver whole nations. Hallelujah. That is, if anybody doesn't want delivered, they're not going to have to take deliverance, and there'll always be those that won't have it. But there will be deliverance for all that will seek and all that will come for deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, somebody said, well, I don't have the faith for it. Well, if you don't have the faith for it, we just let you sit in the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And say, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Gee. Yeah. Well, I've got an ailment I've had for 20 years, and I've been in all the prayer lines, just can't have faith. Now, I've got news for you. You don't even have to have faith. We just let you sit in the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And we'll say, Lord, you know this person just hasn't had the faith. And we're not asking you to invoke that for the prayer of faith saves the sick. We're appealing to your mercy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, I'd rather appeal to his mercy than any formula that you can find in that book. I'd just rather come and say, here I am, Lord. If I've got any faith, good. I don't know. But I do know that your mercy endures forever. Oh, the psalmist so knew it that in the 136th psalm, he ends every verse, thy mercy endureth forever. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a mercy seat above the ark with all of the letter and the manna and the rod, Aaron's rod. There was a mercy seat where God sat in mercy. Hallelujah. If there are those here tonight that have not had faith, your faith has wavered, and you've not been able to get what from God your heart desires. Hallelujah. Then I appeal to you tonight to come, and let's just present ourselves and entreat him for a mercy healing, or for a mercy deliverance. Hallelujah. We have not been able to muster the faith. Lord, we appeal to your mercy. You are a merciful God. I'll tell you, there's no telling what God would do. No telling what God will do. I believe that he'll do whatever you want him to do. Just believe him. While you may have trouble believing for healing, you won't have any trouble believing that he's a merciful God. Hallelujah. We're deliverers. We're sons of God. We're coming. We're going. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. We are destined for rulership, to rule and reign with him. That's King of Kings. Oh, yes. Lord of Lords. I'll tell you he is. Praise the wonderful Lord. Would you like to just stand with me tonight and close your eyes? And I didn't get very far in this message. Maybe I'll finish it another time. And just lift your hands and voices with me. And let's just entreat the Lord. Lord, I invoke the choicest blessings of heaven on this people tonight. In Jesus' name. I invoke the choicest blessings of heaven for them, Lord. Oh, God, deliverance for those that need a deliverance, O Lord. Great God in heaven tonight, my Lord of this great universe, I entreat you, O merciful God, to minister and meet every need tonight, Lord. There are those here, Lord, oh, blessed be the Lord, that needs a releasing. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the lovely Lord. Praise the lovely Lord. Lord, I entreat you now, my Lord and our God. Let me talk to you just a minute. Is there anybody here that has something you've been trying to sell for a while and it won't sell? You haven't sold and you still won't sell it. Is that somebody back there in the back? Brother, step over here now where I can see you, will you please, sir? You've got something for sale and it won't sell? All right, I'm going to release you a buyer. Just hold your hand up there. Praise the Lord. It's still for sale, is it? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I release a buyer to you in Jesus' name. I release you a buyer and direct him to you that you can come together and negotiate in Jesus' name. I release you a buyer. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Has anybody else got something hard to sell? They want to sell it. I'll release you a buyer. You got something to sell? How long has it been for sale? And, you just need a buyer, don't you? Buyers? All right. I release you, buyers. So lift your hands and just, amen. Believe God with me. All right. I release buyers to you in Jesus' name. Mind that in the very near future that they will begin to contact you and the negotiations will begin. The actual sales will transpire in Jesus' name. Anybody here in business for yourself? Who's in self-business here? Right? And you're in business here. You got all the business you want? If y'all got all the business you want, I'm going to release you some more business. You believe it? Well, I do this all over the country, and the next day they come, they sell stuff that hadn't been sold. It's been for sale for no telling how long. And it may not happen quite that quick, but there'll be testimonies here. It may be after I'm gone, but it might very well be while I'm still here. God's going to move. I'm going to release them upon the authority of the Word of God. I'm going to release your business in Jesus' name. I'm going to release, I guess it is customers or clients or whatever is the correct title. God knoweth. I release them to you in Jesus' name. And let the works of your hands to prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. And then when God moves for you, hallelujah, you will remember I bind you over to memory that it was God that did it. Hallelujah. And you will be liberal with God in the name of Jesus. And upon the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Well, praise the wonderful Lord. You believe it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you believe, you shall receive. Will you sing that old song? Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Well, great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Lord, I'm invoking the choicest blessing from heaven over every one of these people. In Jesus' name now. My Lord and our God, their problems. My Lord, they are family problems. Hallelujah. But I'm invoking choice blessings that will override all of these. Hallelujah. There's trouble between children and parents. Hallelujah. Oh, and I'm turning the hearts of the daughters back to the mothers. In Jesus' name, for you that are here tonight, I'm turning the hearts of the daughters back to the mothers and the hearts of the sons to the fathers and the hearts of the daughter-in-laws to the mother-in-laws in Jesus' name. I take the authority to do it in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a change in your... Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. I take authority now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. To establish peace in your spirit and in your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, and I know what it'll take to do that. Hallelujah. You watch. Hallelujah. Believe. Amen. And thank God forever. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I feel a great anointing throughout the congregation here tonight. I believe that, oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I tell you, everybody just take your right hand here and put it right here. The head is, this is where your thinking is, you know. The right hand is the hand of authority. And lift your other hand now. Hallelujah. And bind your mind over to the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Take authority over your mind. Hallelujah. That you know that we are influenced by the wrong things. Hallelujah. Amen. The news media influences us. Hallelujah. But we're binding our minds over to the mind of Christ tonight. We take the authority over our thinking and bind it to the mind of Christ tonight in Jesus' great name. Thank you for it, O Lord. We take this authority in the name of Jesus and to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thee in all thy ways. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and coming in from henceforth and forevermore. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down, and I slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Now I won't be afraid if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord! Save me, my God! Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of your people. Hallelujah. Thank God forever. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, may Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled a little. Then had the streams overwhelmed us, and the waters had passed over us, and the proud waters had gone over our soul. But thanks be to God, he didn't give us a plea to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help comes from the Lord that made heaven and earth. God bless you real good. Praise the Lord, brother. Glenn.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a great big praise offering as we dismiss then. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Great God, we love you. Lord, we thank you. My Lord and our God, your word is true, Lord. You have, oh Lord, you have allowed us to speak a living word, and this people will see it come to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise God forever.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.